Thank you very much. Thank you to our four candidates. Thank you, audience, for being so attentive during that introduction piece. You did a fantastic job. And thank you to our four candidates. It was very interesting to hear about your history. So our second section is that each candidate will be given 2 minutes. It doesn't sound like long, candidates, to talk about their party platform, to give a simple outline, and I know Mr. Stiles has given them a few ideas that they may wish to talk about. We're going to go in reverse order to the order we just spoke, so I'll ask Kyle Delfing from the People's Party to come up first.
So the People's Party of Canada is based on four principles. Our four principles are personal responsibility, individual freedom, respect, and fairness. Personal responsibility is in the sense that what we're looking to do is bring responsibility back to Canadians. It's like getting a driver's license. You get some freedom, but it comes with responsibility. What that means is we would like to... It's 2 minutes, it's not a long time. We're going to reform the way politics is done in Canada. We're going to do it for Canadians again, government on behalf of all Canadians. As our leader said, the parties in charge are not governing based on... this is my 15th time speaking. Our motto is strong and free. And things have changed in Canada over the last 40 years. A lot of the parties have been saying they're going to make life better for Canadians. And how they've been doing that is by using our tax dollars to give something to a segment of Canadians while making all Canadians pay for it. We're looking for fairness and respect. Really, at the bottom line, money is the foundation of our society. That is what we all use. It's a tool that we use to get by. That's what we buy everything with, and that's what we're looking to put back into Canadians' pockets. We have taxation at almost 44% in this country for a lot of Canadians, and that's not fair. So we're going to bring in flat tax programs for everybody in this country, because that's fair. And we're going to raise federal income tax exemptions so seniors aren't paying income tax anymore. Because seniors pay into this system for years and years and years, they shouldn't be paying taxes on their government pensions. We're also going to be bringing in environmental regulations that are actually focused on the environment. We're going to focus on cleaning our waterways, because what most Canadians don't know is there's over 200 billion liters of raw sewage going into Canadian waterways every year, even down in Vancouver is one of the cities. We want to stop that from happening. We want to make sure that there's clean air. There's a Clean Air Act. We want to enforce that. It's been kind of let go for this pursuit of climate change and carbon tax. And we feel that taxing Canadians to stop climate change is not exactly a fair thing. So that's one of the policies that we stand apart on from a lot of the other parties here. Thank you very much. 2 minutes is a very quick time.
Thank you, Kyle.
Okay, so as I earlier touched a little bit on NDP, and they're always for people, not for corporations, we are running on a few key points. One of them is affordability and climate action, and we are fighting for universal pharmacare with head-to-toe coverage, where we believe that your dental, vision, everything should be covered. And improving the public services where people rely on, and we are going to create 300,000 sustainable jobs in clean energy sector. So you will, I will reassure you, when somebody tells, whenever it comes to improve the public services, your tax will go up. That is never going to happen under the NDP government, because we're never after for working class, middle class, or marginalized people. How are we going to do all these things we're promising? We have clearly stated in our platform, we are going to increase 1% tax for the people who make more than $20 million a year, and we're going to, which will generate $70 billion, plus we're going to close corporation loopholes where they take our money offshore to avoid having to pay the taxes. That will generate more billions of dollars, and that money will be invested into you as people. And plus, pharmacare programs like pharmacare, when people can take the medication they cannot afford and government helps them, then they won't have to end up in hospital when they say if they can't treat their illness, then they end up in hospital. So we're paying more money for the hospital beds. So it's being proactive and preventing. And the other thing, pharmacare program itself will generate $4.2 billion a year by bulk buying and by taking the prevention approach. Right now, if people cannot afford to take medication, If they have high blood pressure, they may end up with stroke, then they end up in hospital for days and weeks, and average hospital bed working in there, I can tell you, is 10 to 12,000. So you're spending way more money now. It's not about taxing people, we're about taxing bigger corporations. Thank you.
Thank you. Cindy Gerstas, Liberal Party.
So since I ran in 2015, I've just kept on working and going around and listening to people. And I've talked to a tremendous number of people, including a lot of students. And what I've heard overwhelmingly from young people is that it's a concern about the climate, a concern about the environment. We need to take action. I am passionate about the environment, and I am proud of the Liberal government's record on bringing in a climate action plan. I'm running again because I don't want to see that reversed. So we need to take action and continue that action to make sure that it costs to pollute. We no longer is it just free to take action on things like single-use plastics, as in fact our mayor and council has here in Salmon Arm, to reduce what we do. And I see that in the schools, because there's no point talking about reducing taxation if we don't have a healthy planet and environment to live in. So other parts of the Liberal platform include, like the NDP, universal pharmacare, because many people are not able to pay for their medications, and then they just get sicker. So we need to be able to make sure they can cover that. Supporting families. We have a Canada Child Benefit that was brought in by the Liberal government, and many of your families are seeing that extra help every single month that comes in for you and your brothers and sisters. And that is something that we need to continue and to strengthen. We're helping students get an education by, first of all, increasing the amount of summer jobs that are available, increasing student grants, and making it easier and cheaper to get student loans. We need to have housing. When you look around on the streets, you'll see people that are underhoused, and we need to support that. The Liberal platform calls for a major investment in that. So we're about investing in Canadians. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. And now, from the Conservative Party.
Thank you again. 2 minutes is a really short time to cover off of even the major parts of our platform, but I'm really happy to say that I'm proud of it, and I hope all of you will maybe take the opportunity. It's available at conservative.ca online. You can look at it there. But what we're focusing on is to make sure there are jobs out there. Jobs for your parents, and jobs for you when you graduate from school. Jobs for your parents, because if your parents are working, they can afford to save to help you with your education. And that's one of the pieces of our plan, is education savings plans, so that your parents or grandparents can put some money into that plan. And if they do, the government will match that money. The government will put money in to match what your parents or grandparents or guardians are able to put into those education savings plans. So those jobs for your parents, your neighbors, your friends, and especially for you when you graduate from school or from post-secondary. And what also we're looking at is how can we use or put the best use to your creative minds? You have some great ideas as young people. We know that. We want to put that to work so that we can make a difference on the environment. Our environmental plan takes the fight against climate change outside of Canada, because we can make some differences here. But if you clean up your yard and the neighbor next to you has a great big fire smoking, piling out smoke, it doesn't do a lot of good. So we're looking at places like Asia that produce the worst emissions in the world. How can we incentivize you to come up with some great ideas to help those other countries clean up their pollution, clean up their mess? Because we see even the plastic pollution in the ocean comes from 7 major rivers, and none of them are in North America or here in Canada. That's what we're looking for, is creating jobs and opportunity for young people like you. Thank you.
Thank you to our four candidates. I think you did a very good job of trying to fit all of that into 2 minutes. Thank you for doing that. And the reason we kept that short was because we thought the questions was the most important part. And so we want to make sure we have time for those. So Mr. Stott, I have a few questions in this container, and I will pull them out by random. Candidates, I think to make it efficient, we're going to start with Mr. Arnold at this end, and we'll just have you pass the microphone along so you don't have to get up to the podium at each time. We'll allow you approximately a minute to answer the question, and then when we get to this end, we'll take the second question and go back. So the answer time is reasonably short. Okay, first question. This is from Zoe, oh, Sarah, I think it is, from Hillcrest, Ms. Menzies' class. Sarah? Come on. Do you want me to bring the microphone to you, Sarah? Would that be better? I can bring the microphone over to Sarah here. That might work better. So Sarah's going to read her question off, and we have it written here.
What is your government's policy on immigration?
Thank you, Sarah. So Sarah's question is, what is your government's policy on immigration?
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for that question. That took a lot of courage, didn't it? Yeah. To speak in front of a large group like this. I'm happy to say our party's policy on immigration is to return to a fair, orderly, and compassionate immigration system. We recognize that there are refugees around the world that are being attacked in their home countries. We want to open our borders, open the opportunities to help those refugees come to Canada. We also recognize that there are already people that have immigrated to Canada that want to bring their families to join them. There are families, or there are people here, we have our Syrian refugees that have come to Saminar, and they are looking to reunite their families. That's another part of our immigration policy, is to speed up that family reintegration program. And we're also looking at who in the world needs the most help. That is the key components of what we have for an immigration policy, so that we're looking after the people that need it the most. Thank you for that great question, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah. If I can do one thing here today, is to try to provide some clarity that there is a big difference between refugees who are coming to our country, who are fleeing from disastrous circumstances, and we have an obligation under our United Nations obligations to accept them and to help resettle them. And there are immigrants who have chosen to come here, and many of us, including my family, my grandparents, came here as immigrants. And Canada is welcoming those immigrants as well, because that is a future. We need people to work. Our population is not growing as fast as we need to fill the jobs that are out there. And so immigration is an important part of Canada's history, but it's also an important part of our future, to welcome people here that are skilled laborers, to bring their families and to settle here. Thank you.
So I'm an immigrant. I came here almost about 18, 19 years ago, and we are all immigrants. If not you, not your parents, it's your grandparents, ancestors. So Canada is built by immigrants, and they worked so hard to build this country. We believe that economic immigrants, we should bring more, because we need a lot of talent, and we have baby boomers retiring. So to fill those gaps, which can boost Canada's economy, we'll look at that economic immigration, and also reuniting the families for the people who are already here. So to deal with the backlogs of applications we have, NDP is going to end the Safe Third Country Agreement. What that agreement is, if asylum seekers, there are three categories: immigration, refugee, and asylum seekers. A lot of asylum seekers come to the border, but they already have claims in US, and that we will end that to ensure that we deal with the applications who we need to expedite. So I believe, and if we didn't have the immigrant grants, more than 40% of us wouldn't have doctors, nurses, teachers, professors, or any many tradesmen. So that's the reality. So yes, these are the few key things I can explain within a minute that we're committed to do. Thank you.
The whole point of immigration and refugees coming to Canada, too. Number one, it's supposed to enrich Canadian society and help us get those people who we need to fill jobs and to fill our society. Number two, it's to help world citizens who need help. The thing is, we need to make sure that we take care of Canada while we're taking care of those who we can let into this country. So we're going to reduce our immigration numbers from 350,000 immigrants to 150,000, while doubling the amount of economic immigrants we bring in. And one of the reasons we're doing that is because we actually don't need to bring in a million people into Canada every 3 years. That's going to put a massive burden on the social services in this country, because the amount of immigrants that the other three parties here are proposing to bring in under family reunification above the age of 60, close to retirement, are not going to be contributing to society, but they'll be entitled to our health care, entitled to our pensions, entitled to other plans. So that's going to increase the cost of living for Canadians, and it doesn't benefit us. Our immigration program is a little bit different, but it's focusing on enriching Canada while helping others around the world. We're not focusing on arbitrary numbers that were set by the United Nations. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. Our second question from Mr. Kane's class in South Canoe, Zoe. Zoe, would you like to ask the question from there, or do you like to come on? Come on up. Good for you. Let's give Zoe a hand.
What is your party doing to protect our natural resources?
Thank you, Zoe.
As I mentioned earlier, we have a Clean Waterways and a Clean Airways Act. We are actually going to enforce that on the corporations in this country. Another thing we're going to do is, the candidate mentioned the all-out plastic ban. Ladies and gentlemen, plastic has been a big contributor to our society growing at an exponential rate, which means if it wasn't for single-use plastics, everybody here today would have a harder life. So what we're going to do is, instead of focusing on the bottom line and not wanting to solve the problem, we're going to look at where the plastic waste is going, stop it from leaving Canada, and make sure that there's regulations in place that say you need to reuse this plastic product. And if it's not a reusable plastic product, you can use that plastic product in an incinerator, which creates power. They have that down in the coast. Works very well, has no carbon emissions. We're more of a reuse and a conservationist party. We're not looking to ban and tax everybody to make the environment better. We're looking to use our products better. Less of our products to get more out of it, and we're thinking that if we don't tax Canadians, put more money in their pocket, they'll actually use less of the resources because they won't have to make more money to survive. Thank you.
So NDP is committed to protect our fisheries, at least 30% of our land, water, and ocean sustainability. And yes, we are committed to ban the plastic, single-use plastic, by year 2022. Why we need to ban it? Because yes, we recycle it, we feel good about it. If you see the research and study, only 10% gets recycled. 90% still ends up in a landfill. If you want to see the proof, there was containers were sent to Philippines, and then Philippines sent it back to us. They're like, why would other country take our waste? So it's we can all feel good about recycling. People survived centuries ago without plastic. We had stainless steel containers, glass containers. So yes, we are taking this bold action. These are just a few key things I can only explain in 1 minute. There's more under the climate action plan to protect our species and sustainable natural resources. Thank you.
Well, the Liberal Party has been in government for the last 4 years, and I'm running to make sure that it remains in government, because there has been a lot of work on protecting our oceans and our land surfaces. We have restored the protections in the Fisheries Act and Habitat Act, But one of the things that's really important is that we have increased the percentage of the marine environment that's protected from 1% what it was in 2015 to 14%, and we've pledged to take that percentage to 25%, as well as protecting 25% of our lands. That is a really big deal towards protecting our natural resources. We are also putting in place the Oceans Protection Plan. That's putting $1 billion into ocean protection to make sure that we are transporting goods safely, that we're protecting the whale habitat, and we're protecting fish habitat. One of the things you'll see in my platform is I am working to see that we ban the open net fish farms, and I was pleased to see that that is now in the Liberal platform. So we are on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Zoe. That was another great question. And what my party is doing, the Conservative Party is doing, is what I've believed in ever since I was your age. I grew up on a farm. We had a small stream running through it. And there were fish in that little creek. And I would observe those fish when I got home from school, when I was having fun with my buddies out in the fields and watching that. As I grew older, I learned how to fish with my dad. He took me out to fish the first time when I was 10, about your age, and learned how good it is to be able to catch a fish and have it for dinner. So then as I grew older and got more involved, I got involved with the Fish and Game Club. I've actually done the work in the streams of restoring fish habitat and spawning channels. So that's the knowledge I've brought, and I decided to put my backing behind the Conservative Party because I've seen what that party has done for fish and wildlife management in the country over the past years. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. You're doing a fantastic job of fitting into the time, and we appreciate that. Our next question is from Dane. Dane, would you like to come forward and ask your question? All right.
How would your government treat the possible future challenges of climate refugee coming to Canada, including possible of border control?
Thank you. Let's give Dane a hand. So I'll just repeat the question for you. How would your government treat the possible future challenge of climate refugees coming to Canada, including the possibility of border control? So in fairness, we'll start in the middle with Cindy this question, and then Harwinder next time. We'll go this way and then over that here.
Thanks, Dean. Great question. I would say that our government has already started by investing in foreign aid to help other countries plan to mitigate the consequences of climate change. So if we can help people right where they live, that is going to reduce the possibilities that they're fleeing environmental crises. We need to be ready to accept refugees who are coming here when they no longer can live in their own homes, in their own lands. But I think it's important to note that we have to deal with climate action now so that we don't get to the point of massive refugees coming across. Border controls are in place and they are strong and keeping people who are threatening the security of our country out. But otherwise, we will have an obligation to deal with the flows of people that are fleeing crises in the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Another great question. It's not an easy for anybody to leave their home. And people must be in such a desperation need when they really have to leave a home. Think about yourselves, like how hard it would be if you were to all of a sudden leave your home and go somewhere unknown and try to fit in there. So as far as NDP comes, earlier I mentioned that because as Canada, we are world champion when it comes to human rights, and we should help. At the end, there is only one race, a human race. And I think all of us human should help each other, regardless of who we are, what the skin color, at least to show that who Canada is, or who Canadians are. And we will be treating the climate, I hope, as Cindy said, that we don't go there if we take active actions. But if unfortunate situation, something happens, we should lend a helping hand to those people who are in dire need. There are often kids, there are often orphan kids or parents. And I think at the same time, we'll ensure that country's security is not compromised. Thank you.
I grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, 2,000 kilometers east of here. The average temperature throughout the year changes by 80 degrees Celsius, from minus 40 to plus 40. We have the infrastructure and technology as the human race to mitigate climate where people live. We don't need to have climate refugees. It's a falsity. There's this thing called the Migration Compact that all three of these governments here want to sign on to on December 11th down in Mexico. In that Migration Compact, it's going to cover climate refugees. It's also going to have a section in there that covers the press and the media. Freedom of speech in the country that signs it. The clause says that in reference to refugees, economic migrants, or climate refugees, the media won't be able to talk about it. It's in there. I've read it. It's very, very concerning. Which is one of the reasons why we are going to control our borders by creating a port of entry, a virtual port of entry between the real ports of entries, which will prevent anybody who crosses our border illegally from staying in Canada, because the first safe country agreement, which is the United States of America, is a good place for any asylum seeker to get to. If you can afford to get to the US, you're not much of a refugee, because you're in the United States, you have the ability to stay there. Canada is an equal society. We shouldn't be taking on people like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Great question. And as I was saying, I grew up outdoors, and I know there's an outdoor school started up in Canoe as well. So the kids, and that's your school, is it? Yeah, terrific. So I see all kinds of hands waving. That must be an exciting classroom. So what our party has taken on as a platform is to look at climate change and warming, the change around the world, and make sure we can do something all the way around the world. Not just here in Canada, so that we can take our ideas from Canada and make a bigger difference elsewhere, so that we don't have as many, possibly, of those climate refugees coming forward. We need to make sure we're cleaning up the environment, cleaning up pollution everywhere in the world. And I'm sure by the time you have finished this grade school and through post-secondary, you are going to have some great ideas on how we can make a difference here in Canada and around the world. So that's what we're encouraging. I encourage you to look at our plan online, arealplan.ca. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Okay, thank you, Mr. Stiles. I think we have spent our hour. I'm sure that we would have a lot more questions. And so, if you're a student who has a question and you did not get a chance to ask it, please make sure your teacher gets the question and we can forward it on to the candidates so that they could respond to you in a written form. So students, thank you very much for being such a polite and attentive audience. I think you did a fantastic job. Candidates, I'm sure that you would agree that this audience is especially I'd also like to thank the four candidates. I think it says a lot about you that you came here today to speak to students, and I know that we had time constraints and that you were polite and respectful of one another and of the audience, and that says a lot about each one of you. Can we give them a hand, please? All right. I'm going to pass the microphone over to Ms. Woodhurst. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Mayor Harrison. And always nice to learn from Mr. Harrison. I've been doing that for about 30 years. Thank you. That was fantastic. I want to thank Mr. Stiles, who did all the work behind the scenes, and thank the candidates. I know you're busy. Thank you for taking time to be here today. I do want to thank the audience, too. Thank you to our SMS students. You are outstanding role models, as always. And thanks to our future SMS students, who've been fantastic listeners. One more round of applause for Mr. Stiles and the team today. Thank you, everyone.